Vivek Ramaswamy has been on the show before, he's out there already running. Vivek is. He's been on the show quite a bit. Always enjoy his intellectual back and forth. And want to get him on a couple of our news stories this morning. He is a declared candidate on the Republican side. He's joining us, GMI Studios. Good morning, Vivek. How are you?
Good. Doing well.
Well, I guess everyone almost on the planet in North America, maybe even in Great Britain, looking at our news, is talking about the Trump indictment on his way to New York tomorrow, charge back, speech tomorrow night, Palm Beach. Governor Sununu is talking about it on the Bill Maher show. Everyone seems to be talking about it. I'm not really focusing and harping too much on it because I want to see what's in the indictment first. Novel concept. I don't know how much will be leaked out, but we'll see it tomorrow. I don't know the impact on the race, but you're a candidate running for president. If people say, hey, Vivek, what do you think about the former president, one of your challengers running for this nomination, being indicted out of the Manhattan DA? What's your take on this? I know you've been asked.
Yeah, I said it immediately after the first news was leaked about the likelihood of the indictment. I think it's a national disaster. I do not think we want to live in a country where the ruling party uses police power to arrest its political opponents. And even without seeing the unsealed version of the indictment, we know this. Alvin Bragg ran for his position as DA in Manhattan on the political campaign pledge of investigating Donald Trump. So when a prosecutor delivers on a campaign promise by going after a specific individual, especially when that individual is leading the polls in an election for the opposition party, that's pretty good evidence that this is a politicized prosecution. But Jack, beyond just calling out the problem, which I've done plenty of over the last couple of weeks, and I believe, and part of the reason I've done it is I think I have more credibility to do it because I'm running against Trump. I'm running to defeat Trump, but I want to defeat Trump by convincing voters on the merits, not by having Trump compromised or eliminated by some politicized prosecution. But as much as I've pointed out the problem, it highlights for me a big part of the reason of why I am running. I think that we have an administrative police state problem in this country, but I don't want to just reveal the problem. Trump did that through his 4 years in office. He's doing that through this day, and I think that that has some valuable service to the country. I want to actually solve the problem by going further than even Trump did in revealing the corrupt managerial police state. And I've revealed, actually even yesterday, a specific plan and a set of commitments for exactly how I'll do it. That's the whole premise of my candidacy, to go even further than Trump to protect everyday Americans, including Trump, from that administrative police state.
Do you think in a weird way this kind of helps Trump in the short run in terms of raising money, solidify support with supporters that, you know, if you can say it's a political witch hunt, nothing here. Does it help him in the short term? And do you agree with Governor Sununu, who was on with Bill Maher, whatever show that is, over the weekend? I didn't see it. That Trump, if he is the nominee in 2024, he won't win a general election.
Well, unlike Governor Sununu, I don't believe in being an armchair political analyst. I'm actually more focused on speaking truth and what my beliefs are as a candidate rather than making political poll predictions or, you know, I mean, you're doing that, Jack, and I think that's your job to do it. I think those of us who are running for positions of political leadership, certainly national leadership, I think our job is to state our convictions with truth unapologetically and let voters decide who does and doesn't win. You know, does this help? I mean, clearly it's helped Trump raise money in the near term, but that's, you know, what that's going to do over the long run. I don't care to sit around and opine and predict. I actually think that I care to be an agent of positive change in shaping the outcome, where my view is Trump went as far as he was going to go in exposing the corrupt managerial state, what he called the deep state. We need to now go the distance and actually solve the problem by taking steps like I've pledged to do. Shut down the FBI, replace it with something new built from scratch. Do the same thing with respect to other politicized agencies like the IRS. I've also pledged to say that anybody who has been convicted in a politicized prosecution over the last 5 years, and I can tell you how I define that, there's good evidence of whether there was a political motive, I've pledged to pardon them and to be able to restore equal liberty and equality and justice for all. Part of a broader vision of how we can actually reform the system rather than just to observe the problem. Vengeance and grievance are only going to get us so far. I think we need to go the distance to actually solve the problem.
Vivek Ramaswamy, Republican presidential candidate. I want to just switch gears, if I can. You've written a book about this, a lot of the woke stuff. It may be an ancillary tangent to what you're talking about, or it may not be so ancillary. You may draw a direct connection. But it goes to your book that you wrote, Changing Gears. And over the weekend, one of my regular contributors on the show, and he just was on with us. He's a good friend. He also has a podcast through our network, Navigating Uncertainty. I think you've been a guest. But Dr. Vikram Mancharamani pointed out to me over the weekend, because I talk about Stanford University and their woke index, or they call it the inclusive guide. Well, Michigan State came out with one, and I was reading it, and under global identity, it actually encourages on campus to not use American-centric terms. Don't say America, American, American citizen. Don't say American-centric terms. Same thing at Stanford. I think that's crazy. I think that's gone beyond the lunacy line. You've written a book about this. Where does this sort of, like, be careful, you don't want to say you're American on an American university campus? What the heck is going on here, Vivek?
Well, it's interesting you bring up Michigan State. Actually, I did have an in-detail study of Michigan State in particular in the chapter of my first book entitled The Rise of the Managerial Class. So what's going on at universities like Michigan State is you have a proliferation in associate deans of diversity, not even professors, people who are professional managers in the university. And that's what allows this new culture to fester. So that managerial class, by the way, when you hire, I think the ratio went up by 10 to 1 of administrators even to students.
But real quickly, I have to interrupt. A president or a board would have to approve at some point or be aware of this hiring of managerial non-professors. Why would they want more than one or a couple to be there? Well, what, they think there'd be a greater good served here?
They don't believe there's going to be a greater good served. It does insulate them from accountability for their failures. So the universities, especially four-year programs in this country, have failed for a very long time, for decades now, of preparing students adequately for the workforce, and particularly to give students their money was worth on that education. So they blow what I call as woke smoke to deflect from that. So they change their purpose to say that actually now it's just about social justice, and we're just on the right side of history, and we're going to hire a proliferation of associate deans of God knows what to cover that fact up. So that is how this trick is played. Same thing in the public schools in this country, even in K-12. Can't teach kids how to do math? Let's just say math is racist rather than recognize that it might be racist or inequitable not to teach a bunch of black kids how to do math in the inner city. That's the real trick at the heart of this trade. Wokeness is a deflection.
You've written a book about this. You're running for president. You can speak to it better than me. I do my show. I'm a host. I point out things right here at home, for example, like Durham, New Hampshire, home of University of New Hampshire, beautiful community. They have a city or board council there, and they have a sector of the group which is like your administrators you're talking about. And they, you know, a few years ago, stay with me on this because it's a local anecdote for you. You're running here. The holiday, annual holiday, Christmas tree lighting was changed to a holiday lighting because a couple people in town felt they weren't Christians or the Christmas tree, they didn't celebrate Christmas. Okay. And then Indigenous People Day. And then it seems like each chance they get, but they don't realize that the town is named after Reverend Durham, who was a Christian. So I come at this thing from a commonsensical point of view. And I just wonder, where's the line here? You're not supposed to say guy or gal at Stanford, like, hey, guy, how was your swim practice? Because it might be offensive. At what point, I mean, how much bubble wrap can we shrink young kids? And we wonder why they can't cope. I don't know where the line is, but I push back on it all the time through common sense, really.
Mm-hmm. There is no line. I think that's the whole mentality, because they keep moving the line. I think what we need to revive is, instead of celebrating our diversity and our differences, we need to unapologetically celebrate the things we still share in common as Americans. That's what we've forgotten is, you know, Jack, you and I have two different shades of melanin. Who cares? That's meaningless if there's nothing greater that binds us together. And what we're missing in this country is remembering those shared values. You bring up Stanford. It's not just guy or gal. They say that even using the word American is now a microaggression. I think that reveals the problem. And so what I'm on a mission to do for this country is, yes, to put America first, we need to first rediscover what America is. Mm-hmm. Those are the ideals that we set into motion in this country in 1776, in places not far from where you are in New Hampshire, where I'm coming next weekend. That's what we need to revive, is that 1776 spirit that binds us together across our diversity. And that's the right approach to unity, not by stepping back and walking on eggshells and wondering how we're not going to offend one another. No, it's actually by unapologetically embracing the radical ideas that we all share in common as Americans. And I think we need a leader who unapologetically, proudly, and in a positive way actually reinforces that, especially for the next generation.
Real quickly, do you think Governor DeSantis in Florida goes too far when he fights this university stuff, like with looking at the board of the Sarasota College as part of the state university system, trying to put more intellectual conservatives on the board? Do you think Governor Sununu's been critical of him, saying, you know, you're not supposed to, it's a little too authoritarian, but he takes it head on. You know he does, DeSantis.
Yeah.
Disney.
I mean, my criticism of Sununu is that he's the walk on eggshells type, so let's put that to one side. My criticism of DeSantis is, he's like the inverse of Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt said, speak softly and carry a big stick. Ron DeSantis actually speaks loudly but carries a very small stick. You look at even last week, Disney managed to outmaneuver him. BlackRock did the same thing. So Governor DeSantis, the thing with him is he likes to get the news cycle, trend on Twitter, get the conservative media credit. But then when it comes to getting the job done, the corporation or the one he's going after, whether it's Disney or BlackRock, ends up getting what they want out of it at the end of the day. You saw that news with Disney last week, completely reversing what he did. So that's my issue with DeSantis and a lot of other conservatives that prefer news cycles rather than actually getting the job done, which is why in a president, I think we need an outsider. I think that needs to be the GOP tradition. Well, is we're the party of the outsider in the White House.
Good stuff. If people want to learn more, best way is?
Vivek2024.com, V-I-V-E-K 2024.com. It is a grassroots movement, and looking forward to being in New Hampshire next weekend.
All right, Vivek. I appreciate it. Thanks for being on Good Morning New Hampshire, the Pulse of an Inch, GMI Studios. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.